Till I met you.
Oh yeah.
control, and your freedom is all we know. Come on.
Now your freedom is all that I know.
Yes.
The old made new. Jesus, when I
testify this morning. We declare,
I needed a rescue. My sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I was a child, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the end.
Turning lives around.
Oh, he turns your lives around.
I worship you.
when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, oh come on, shout it out, hey.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
How many are happy for the miracle worker today? Come on, just lift him up this moment right here, right now. Just lift him up. Just begin to say, thank you for this miracle. We're living in a miracle. Our country is a miracle. We can do what we do and that we can worship the way we worship. We want to thank God for that. So come on, thank God for our freedom today. Thank God for the ability to come into this place of worship and give God praise. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. We honor what you've done for us, God. This moment, we honor all those that have given their lives and given their time and given their abilities to make us free today. We thank you for them. Hallelujah. Y'all may be seated. Just enjoy this. Thank you.
Would all of our veterans who have served and are serving, please stand. All of those that have served or are enlisted, would you please stand? Thank you so much. You can be seated. We love you. Thank God for you. You are the greatest value of America. Next to Jesus, you're the greatest value that America has. And we thank God that you put it all on the line so that we can do this. I don't know if everybody realizes, but I think most of you realize there are people on the planet that want to stop us from doing what we're doing here and the way of life that we have in America. But by God's ability and the bravery of great men and women of this country, we believe that we'll continue to have our life that God wants us to have and to have these freedoms that we get to enjoy. And I think one of the greatest ways to lose your freedoms is to stop utilizing them and ignore them. And then if you don't value them, you just let them go. But I'm grateful that we get the opportunity to enact all of these liberties that have been given for us. And I think we should thank these men and women one more time and let them know we're grateful to them. God bless you. I've got a few exciting things that I want to share with you today. And so, ushers, if you would come and present these little booklets, one per family would be fantastic. And so if you could just collect one per family, we've got several people down here, some guys up in the balcony, they're going to help you. And I'm excited to share what I've got to share with you next. Let me, while they're doing that, Hope, great job. Very nicely done. Next week, I put a request that she would play Devil Went to Georgia. Next week, just before I preach, because nothing makes me psyched like that song. That's one of those hype songs, right? And I'm going to have Malcolm come up and do a little interpretive dance with it. And we're going to have a great old time with that. So anyways, it's terrible to say from the platform. But let me just do something with you that I'm excited about. And we're going to be talking about this over the next few weeks. And I know that you're going to be very encouraged and enthused by some of these things that we have in mind. Every church, and I have to speak to you, understand that there are some of you who've been going to church since before birth, but then there are some that have just started coming to church, so I always need to keep that in mind in everything that I do, especially from the platform. But every church has internal ministries that it needs and must maintain to keep the church breathing and alive and effective. But then every church should also have a focus outside of the four walls. And I feel like that God has really helped us, given us great favor, and I feel like we're doing a good job reaching outside our walls. Not just around the world, but it's nice to reach people down the road. And so over the past several years, we've named our missions outreach Be the One. And this year, I wanted to give it something fresh and something a little bit tangible, a little more teeth in it. And so we're calling our missions emphasis for the next year Project 18. And I want you to, if you would, take that booklet out, and if you would turn to page 2, let me briefly show you some of the things that we've been supporting and then introduce you to some of the new things that we want to support. And I've not made any commitments to any of these organizations yet. I'm waiting to see what our response is as a church, and how we fund these projects is people make commitments either weekly, monthly, or annually, and we're able to do some great things outside these four walls. And so I think that you understand, if you've been coming for a while, there's as much going on during the week as there is on Sunday here. And ministry doesn't stop at the end of the day on Sunday. It just continues to go on. So if you would go to page 2 in that book, it's not going to take me long. I want to just remind you of what we've been doing and introduce you to some new things. Joe's House, a fantastic ministry run by Vinnie Green, is a transitional home for men that are coming out of either drug rehabs or out of prison, and they're going into a home where there is encouragement, discipleship, accountability. Men are getting jobs, putting their lives back together, and I think right now we have seven men in the house. And about eight is the most we can have and everybody be comfortable, but we could go to 10. And so we've been excited to watch these men grow. I mean, just grow and develop. I think they're here. Come on, let's let them know we're proud of them. At some point when I have time, I visited a ministry I didn't realize it was just like what we're doing, but they're doing it in Spain. And I found out the need for Jesus in Spain is as great as it is in Maine. Not because it rhymes, but because of the need. All right. Here's something new. United Farmer Veterans of Maine. It's been on my heart for a number of years, actually, that we do something for veterans in need in a faith-based fashion. And this fall, I was able to get introduced to the United Farmer Veterans. I mean, how many of you have ever heard of that organization? They've been on the news lately, and basically they connect with men and women that are serving in the military now in service or are out of service and help transition these men and women into life and to give them a purpose. And what they're doing is they build homes, they're not large homes, just single member homes, and they connect them to local farms all over the state of Maine, and there's training and also the influence of faith and the gospel's being shared with them. And so this is good that we honor the veterans, but how many know you can honor, then you got to do something about it, right? Got to do something. And this is a way not only to share Christ with the precious men and women of our military, but to help them get there on their feet and to do something that God's given them to do. The Safe Place Food Pantry, it's staggering to think that by the time this year is over, Bud Drew and his crew under the oversight of Walter Young will have given away 384 tons of food. I think we ought to honor them and thank them for doing that. That's a lot. That's a big number, but it's even bigger if you think about it one banana box at a time. That's a lot of work. Thank God for that ministry. Empowering Education. Every year, you know that we flood this platform with school supplies. You give coats. Thank you for the coats that you've been giving. It is a phenomenal, it's overflowing how many coats you bring in. We supply hats, mittens, boots to children. And how many understand today, it's going to get cold for a while. It's cold now. But next year, we want to really put on the biggest Christmas gift blitz we've ever done before. We want to flood this entire region and on Christmas Day have hundreds and hundreds of families and children opening gifts, knowing they came from the church as a blessing to let them know we love them, God loves them, and we can really reach into a lot of homes on Christmas Day. Fusion, there is an incredibly handsome local pastor that's on television every day, and what an honor. All right, page four, our prison outreach, our Christian Civic League, we're glad to partner and help with them. Okay, global reach. Tiff Shuttlesworth, every year goes to 2 to 3 different countries, and this time we want to help support his trip, not to another country, but to another state, to send him to Alaska. Over the years, he's gone into these different villages, believe it or not, where there are people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ever. Because, for whatever, God's given him the heart to go there to share the gospel. And over the years, we've given backpacks and mittens and hats and really helped him. This year, I want us to fund that crusade. I just want us to take care of it, and on behalf of the church, he be able to go and have that trip fully funded. And I believe every tribe and every tongue in the world should hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if it's not warm. Right? So many preachers are just paid hirelings, paid speakers, but I'm glad we're connected to people that aren't doing it for the money. They're doing it for the calling and for the souls. Nate Pimento's going to India again. I don't know if this is his second or third trip next year in July, and we want to support him. He's connected with Prince, one of our students at the Bible College, and he has a great crusade. I'll just want to fund it if we could. Faith Bible College International. Are there any students here today from that famous Bible college here in Maine? I'm gonna cut. No, I got the authority. We're gonna cut the funding to that Bible college right there. Bunch of snowflakes. Are there any students here from Faith Bible College International? You know, it's interesting what you get out of them when you insult them. I don't know what that is, but you know, this is really, really awesome. Charisma Magazine, the biggest evangelical magazine on the world, puts out a magazine every year, America's Best Christian Universities and Colleges. And they've listed, for the second year in a row, Faith Bible College International in their listing. So we give God the glory for that. And it's fun. It's fun. Every part of that thing is growing. Every part of it is growing. And a businessman that we're connected to has said if we can raise $1 million by the end of next year, he will give $1 million. You say that's a lot, but it's only 1 million. I only have to raise 1 million. And so what I'm saying is what we want to do as a church is focus on the scholarship program, because one of the greatest advantages of that Bible college is that students from no matter what financial situation can come and get trained for the ministry. And I want you to know that God doesn't check your W-2 to see if he's called you. And if you're called, you deserve to be trained. And the scholarship fund, it costs $12,000 a year to put a student in school. We only charge $6,000 a year. And then sometimes the students don't have those monies available to them. So we want to build the scholarship fund. And what I'm saying is every dollar that we give will be doubled. Isn't that awesome? Every 100 becomes 200, every 1,000 becomes 2,000. In Haiti, we're going to change what we're doing with the orphanage in Haiti. A lot of our people just came back from there excited about what's going on. This year, what we want to do is we want to say to Pastor Rigo, you don't have to worry about the food for your nearly 70 orphans this year. We as a church are going to make sure that every child is fed 3 meals every day for the entire year. And that's what we want to do. We're excited. Soulfire Elevate groups have been doing some hikes to raise some money. They call it Four Mountains for Haiti. And they're going to raise money to build a 500-seat auditorium in Haiti. A brand new church in Jerusalem, Haiti, where there are millions of people that are gathering there in this city that had nothing. Now there's a lot of people there. We're excited about that. And then Israel, Mike Evans is somebody that my wife and I have become acquainted with. You might see him on Fox News as a correspondent. He has Friends of Israel Ministry in Israel, where they have an incredible museum to honor the past Christian relationships. He also does a lot of outreaches amongst the poor in Jerusalem. He has a lot of, he's personally connected to Benjamin Netanyahu, and it's a miracle that whole story even comes about. He is building, and as you see in your flyer here, there are 190,000 Holocaust survivors still in Israel. That might not seem possible, but it's true, and they're elderly, and 50,000 of them are living in poverty. I want to partner with Mike Evans, and let's provide a home for God's precious people who have survived one of the greatest atrocities that ever happened in the history of mankind, and get them in a warm place, they can be fed, clothed, and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that God will bless that. And so if you look on page 7, there's some Q&A in 6. Page 7, there is four levels that if we could have 25 people at each level in this church, that would equal $84,500 that we could put into these ministries that we are connected to in this region and we're connected to all over the world. And so you'll see there's a commitment card in there. I'm not asking you to make a commitment today unless you're ready to. If you're ready to, go ahead, because I know that it's... The one Sunday that you get everybody that's a part of this church in church together, we should frame that picture. Because it's impossible, and I'm not criticizing or complaining, but it's impossible to get everybody in church on one Sunday or two Sundays or three Sundays. Some of you, we only see once or twice a month because of different schedules that are taking place, especially with work. So if you want to make that commitment today, please do it. Go ahead when the offering is taken up. If you want to take it home and pray about it, we'll give you another opportunity. How many believe that God's going to help us not only reach that goal, but we can do better than that? We can do better than that. And so prayerfully consider that, and that would be a phenomenal help. Would you pray together with me, everybody, that God will help us in 2018 to do more for the kingdom of God than we've ever done before? Would you like to do that? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe that we have got to be motivated more now than we have ever been before to get the gospel out. And you promised that you would provide and meet the needs of those who would get the gospel going. And God, we take it personally. This is our generation. This is our culture. We have our resources. We yield them to you to build the kingdom of God. Lord, I'm not convinced that before this time next year that you won't return. But if you do, I want you to find Charleston Church active and reaping the harvest for you. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your time. I'm not much for infomercials, but that to me, that's more than that. It's something special that God wants us to do. Amen. Let me give you just a few very important announcements that you need to hear about. Tonight at 5 o'clock, while the ushers are getting ready, tonight at 5 o'clock, we're having a Heart for the House meeting. How many volunteers are here? Would you please stand? Everybody that volunteers in any capacity, you're involved at any level in this church. Would you please stand? Wow. Wow. Look at that. Wow. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. Well, we're going to give out a bunch of awards to them tonight, and we're going to honor them tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun, and it'll be an inspiring service. So come as a volunteer to be honored. Come as a part of the church family to honor the volunteers. It's not going to be a long service, but we're going to do some fun things and celebrate, end with prayer. And then we're going to the fellowship hall and eating cupcakes. For all the things that will happen today, I think that's God's will for us to eat cupcakes. Amen. Guilt-free. How could that little cupcake be fattening? The first six tonight will be fat-free. Hallelujah. You're going to have to run a mile between each cupcake, but they'll be fat-free. Let me just share a couple other things. November 14th is the Senior Adult Thanksgiving Meal. Looking for everybody to be there at 11 o'clock, having a hymn sing. It's going to be a great time. November 28th, Tiff Shuttlesworth is going to be here the last Sunday of this month. And he's going to be preaching both morning and evening on prophecy and where we are in the times of the Bible and how the current events that are taking place line up exactly with what the Bible foretold would happen. I would ask you to be inviting people to come the end of this month. A lot of you will be having Thanksgiving meals with your family, and this would be an absolutely, and we did it strategically, an absolutely perfect time for you to invite your family members that you want to come to Christ to be with you on Sunday after Thanksgiving, and then it will force you to keep your testimony up in case you don't get along. That didn't go too well. At the end of the service, the ushers, our fantastic ushers, will be handing out these Lost Lamb Covenants. These are powerful tools. How many of you want to see your family get saved? Amen. Well, these are powerful tools that Tiff gives out whenever he preaches. In here, you can write the names of seven people that you're praying for. Then there are some instructions on how you can influence your family members or friends or coworkers or neighbors to come to church with you, to know Christ. And so everybody take one, and even not only for this month, but for the remainder of the year, that'd be fantastic. December 2nd, Kids on the Move, gingerbread time. Everybody comes together, and they build gingerbread houses. I think one of the Bean Boys won the best gingerbread house, and it's a fantastic second year they've done it. A lot of community people come in. And then on December the 3rd is the Sunday school program. Is Ron here? Nope. Well, there've been a lot of them, and maybe 145 of them, and Ron's led every single one of them. And so it's so much fun. The little kids, the teenagers, it's just a great time. It's very nostalgic for me, so I totally enjoy it. And then on December the 8th, a guy named Paul Balash. Balash, is that what you say his name is? Paul Balash? What a terrible name. But he's a great singer, I guess. And he's going to be here for a Christmas concert, and everybody will love that. Young and old are going to be a fantastic time. Get your tickets at Lighthouse Events. All right? Sermon should be short today. I'm running out of wind. And then the coats are coming in. Thank you so much for your generosity. The little kids are getting blessed all over our area. Let's thank God for what he's doing around Charleston Church. Amen. Ushers, would you come and let's give to the Lord today, and let's be real gracious to him. I was praying today, and asking the Lord what I would say to you about the offering time. Let me just say there are two things that God says about giving, and we're a giving church. There are tithes, T-I-T-H-E, and then there are offerings. Very simple, and I love it when God shows me things simply. The tithe, when we give the first dollar of every 10 that we get, the Bible says He opens the windows of heaven. What does that mean? That means He begins to show us things in heaven that affect our lives. He makes things real to us. Ever since 1990, when I gave my life to Christ, I've been giving God the first dollar every 10 that I've ever made. Before I give any to the government, before I give any to Social Security, before I give anything to anything else, I give Him the first dollar of every 10. And for 27 years, God has revealed certain things to me that have changed my life, and I wouldn't ask for a dollar of it back. The tithe is God's, and it helps you see things that heaven reveals. The offering is for the natural. The tithe opens access to heaven, heavenly things, but the offering opens natural things. Didn't Jesus say, "Give and it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and men will give into your bosom"? That's kind of a weird term. But what He's saying is when you tithe, you access heaven's advantages. But when you give to God offerings, God does something supernatural in your natural life. Your life will always be better when God is speaking to you. And God says your life here, your giving opens doors and makes things happen to the right and to the left of us, horizontally and laterally. All right, let's give. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your faithfulness to us. Bless the givers, I pray, as we commit and we give and we're generous. Mighty things continue to happen. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's worship with these folks as we give.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No feet can compare. You are living hope. Your presence. Tasted and seen the sweetest of life. My heart becomes free and shame is undone. In Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, You are welcome. Place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long to be overcome by Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Nothing worth more could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen. Yeah. I've tasted.
Stand up and worship together.
Holy Spirit, You are welcome. You are welcome.
of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Oh, let us become, let us become more aware. Your presence, let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts, it's what we long for.
To be overcome
by your presence,
by your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you
are
so welcome here. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, hearts long to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Begin to pray as the Holy Ghost begins to lead you. Just begin to tell God how much you love Him. Lord, we need you today. I pray that certain things that have needed to be shifted and changed today will take place. I pray that dormant faith comes alive today. In Jesus' name, let the garment of heaviness be destroyed, that the spirit of praise would come upon the people of God. In Jesus' name, somebody shout a good amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. I want you to watch this video. I think it's absolutely hilarious. Watch this. This is Anderson, Pastor Vinny and Tiana's little boy. Looks like, all right, just go ahead and watch this. How many of you that was you through most of your high school? How many of you that was you mostly through your high school years in class right there? I'm going to fight that don't become you while I preach this morning. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to turn there with me, Ephesians chapter 5, these words. Therefore, he says in Ephesians 5 verse 14, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then you walk circumspectly. What does that mean? That means see that you live your life completely. See that you live your life completely, not as fools, but wise. How many of you, for you, most of the time, it's not hard for you to fall asleep? If your neighbor is sleeping, say it, he just is talking to you right there. Sometimes when you go to bed, it might be hard to go to sleep. But one of the scariest things I think can happen, and I know that happened to me, is I'll be driving home, and when I pull into the driveway, think, I don't remember the last 2 miles. Is there anybody here who's ever done that before? Oh, that's scary. If I was you, I would be one of the first ones out of the parking lot today. It's scary. I mean, you're driving a big piece of steel. But there's something about the familiar road, the familiar rumble, the familiar surroundings, the familiarity of driving, you would think every single one of us, every time we got into a vehicle, 10, 2, with our eyes wide open, would just be like, this is, wow, I got to pay attention. Because it's so easy to just drift to sleep. It's a little bit hot in here for me today. It would be very easy for me to just tip my head back a little bit and do what Anderson did up there. You know, the same thing happens spiritually. Without any effort, without even trying, and most of the time without even knowing it, it is so easy to fall asleep spiritually. It is so easy to get used to the surroundings, used to the church, used to the schedule, used to the message, used to His... Come on, you know you can get so used to the presence of God that you don't even recognize it anymore. It happens. Oh, it happens too often, and it happens to good people. And what Paul is saying in this scripture to the Ephesian church is, don't let what you've been around long enough make you into a place that you become too casual, too comfortable, too que sera, sera. It no longer pierces your heart. It no longer excites your joy. It no longer builds your faith. You stop dreaming. You stop imagining. You stop getting excited. You're just falling asleep at the wheel. In fact, Paul said in the book of 1 Timothy, it's not on the screen, chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, that you've got to be careful that in the church you don't let the doctrine of devils, the deception of lies, the lies of hypocrisy get to the place where people become calloused and what's the word I'm looking for? Just kind of too relaxed. Come on. And how many would agree with me from what we do see of the church scene in America that much of the American church has gotten way too relaxed, way too informal, way too familiar? The fear of God, the awe of the Holy Ghost just seems to be passing away, and going to church is no different than maybe going to the Kiwanis Club meeting. Not against the Kiwanis Club, I'm just saying, when we gather in church, wasn't it David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. There was an excitement, there was a joy. And I'm just telling you today, God wants by His Spirit to wake us up one more time and say, get up, there's some things to look for. Look what He says. Wake up. Somebody shout, wake up.
Wake up.
Wake up, sleepers. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Look what He says in the next verse, if you go on to verse 15. Yep. See then you walk circumspectly. In other words, He's saying, live your life and don't section God out. Like, live your life so that He's involved in the complete circle of your life. Don't... And when you don't, He says, don't live as a fool, but as wise. What He's saying is a fool says God is in this part, but then moves God out of the other part. A wise person says, well, I'm going to let God get involved in every area of my life. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The days are evil. He's saying, wake up. Wake up and realize that you're not in mediocre times. Wake up, realize that there are evil forces at work in your day. Can I demonstrate it for you this way? Let me have Dennis and Kurt and Shannon and Josh. Come here real quick. Some of you students heard me. I referred to this the other night, and I referred to it quickly this morning to help you. Dennis, you stand over on the end. Kurt, you're right here. Hey, buddy. And Shannon, you're right here. No, they're not related. All right. And Josh over here. This means something to you, whether you know it or not. Watch. So the statistics, as I've been reading, tell us that in North America, 25% of America is against hearing the gospel. And because I'm not real good with math, I broke it down to four people. 25% of North Americans are in favor of the gospel. And 50% of Americans are what they call the squishy middle. Squishy middle. The Pillsbury Doughboy with a tan. Squishy middle. We've got 25% of America that at least is engaged somewhat. A bunch of them are nominal, but they're somewhat engaged. Like they're favorable to the gospel. And they would like their children to serve God. 25% of the population is against God and against church and against faith being something that's a part of their world. But 50% remains undecided. Now, that's not new. That has happened for many decades. But the problem is now, the world that some of you grew up in, 60s, 70s, 80s, is a different world than 2017. Very little of it is the same. The world you grew up in, and some of us grew up in, was the culture, even if you were not against, even if you were not Christian, at least you were open to the standards or to the teachings of faith. Okay? Some of you have no idea, most of you have no idea what I'm going to talk about, but there was a day they didn't, stores were closed on Sundays. There was a day, very few people ever worked on Sunday. There was a day that very few activities took place other than church on Sunday. But our culture changed. Our culture changed, and it's not just about work, and it's not just about money, it's not just about activities, but our culture has changed because there is a force in the culture that wants to make everyday life in America more secular and less spiritual. This is happening. The days are evil. 60s, 70s, and 80s, some of the 90s, these 50% that didn't decide at least grew up in a world that was somewhat spiritual, open to God, open to Christ, open to religion. But things have changed. As you would admit, our culture has become less spiritual and more secular. Okay? Our culture is, and so more of the messages in media and in music and in government and in education and in healthcare and in different movements have become, let's move God out and just bring human thought in. And in a world that used to lean toward God is now leaning toward secularism. In other words, the overarching thought mentality for the next generation is not God. It's against God. Are you all with me on this? There's a system of thinking. There's a way of thinking. There's a way of doing things. There's a way of making decisions. There are priorities. And where even if you weren't a Christian, your priorities were basically Christian. And now those who are not Christian, their priorities have become more and more secular, non-Christian, anti-Christ. And so we know prophecy says that in the last days an antichrist system would rise up. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to. It is. It is. Here's the thing that I want to tell you. Those that are against God in our culture have this to work with: the natural ability and the agenda of hell. If you don't think that hell does not have an influence on the government, your head is deeply in the sand. And the ice has frozen you there. The deep freeze is settled. There is a hellish agenda, but I got good news. The church has its natural abilities, but it doesn't have hell backing it. It has heaven backing it. And I just want you to hear this. While hell is strong, it doesn't even measurably compare to the strength of heaven. For it was in heaven the devil was made and flicked out. It was in heaven the demons changed and they were flicked out. I'm still saying to you, the greater one is still in our society. The question is, will the church wake up? The only way, how many of you are getting it? The only way the secular 25% can win the squishy 50% is if the church stays asleep. Because historically, whenever the church was awake, the church dominated and influenced culture. But historically, when the church goes to sleep, the secularism rises up and it influences the society. Go like this. It's the truth. So we just came back from Spain. A businessman said, if we pay for your way to go, will you preach at this church convention? So we did. And in 36 straight hours, my wife and I preached 8 times and had a 2-hour individual prayer meeting. So Spanish people, just see. And the only Spanish I know, I got from Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hasta la vista, baby. I know one other one, but I can't say it from the platform. But as I begin to talk to the pastors and the churches over there, the secular society has already won in Europe. They've won. Now that flag has already been put up, and now what God's doing is He's raising up the church in Spain that is full of the Holy Ghost, and the church is rising up and gaining favor. In fact, that government is so secular. However, they recognize the power of the Holy Ghost in the local church, and the government gave one church that we preached for an entire parcel of land in one of the most populated areas in Santander, Spain, where tons of people would like to have it. Why? Because when the church wakes up, God begins to give favor and God begins to push back the gates of hell. Praise God. And what I've come back to tell you is this: it's not too late for America. It's not too late for Maine. It's not too late for New England. We've just got to wake up to the power of God and say, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. But it will not happen with a sleepy church. It will not happen with people reminiscing about the old days, sleeping in the current. It will not happen with Christians that are compromising their holiness. It will not happen when we live our lives like all of our neighbors. It will change when the church wakes up, because this squishy 50 is some of your children. This squishy 50 are some of your grandchildren. This squishy 50 are many of your neighbors, most of your co-workers. And this sleeping church will lose a generation. But how many, and I don't care. How many have just got that conviction? If I'm going to be a part of this church, I'm going to come alive. I'm going to come awake. I'm going to come and be a part of it. I'm going to commit to it. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost come in. I'm not going to live by fear. I'm not going to live by the opinions of my neighbors. I'm not going to parent like everybody else parents. I'm not going to live like everybody else lives. I'm not going to think like everybody else thinks. I'm not like everybody else. I am a child of God. And if we don't come alive in the Holy Ghost, and if we don't come alive with these things, I'm telling you, what secularism has to tell you is depression, defeat, bondage, sexual immorality, drug addiction, alcoholism. Come on, somebody. If other preachers don't want to be clear on it, I will be. Sin is sin, and sin destroys a culture. Sin never helps. But the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. And I'm afraid that too many people are bending their knee for what's popular or tradition. I say, let's bend our knee for what is God and what is right and what is powerful. It must be demanded of God. Let's break the routine. Let's break the mundane. Let's break the used to comfort zone and say, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Sorry. Raise my voice. I'm a pastor. I'm on TV. I'm a Bible college president. Right? You see some people walk in church, they're kind of like, their feet must stink because their head's up in the air. No, I see some of you. You're just so proud. So proud. If you took a shower, you'd drown. Yeah. Come on. We will not win the squishy 50 with some sad, downtrodden, critical, mad, upset, fault-finding Fox News religion. What we need to do is rise up, and CNN, by the way, and we need to rise up with a gospel of good news and see Jesus did not come to condemn sinners, but he came that sinners might be saved, and with the demonstration of the power of Jesus Christ. Wake up! May God find in Charleston a church that's wide awake. Thank you, gentlemen. Can I close? Okay, thank you, guys. You're good. Yeah, what do you say to a guy? Can I close? Well, I kind of want you to, but... No, I don't get that from you at all. Come on, musicians. This will help me. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 17. Watch this. Watch this. Therefore, don't be unwise. Don't be dead. Don't be a dead church. Don't be a dead believer. Don't be nominal. Don't be culturally relevant. Don't be culturally acceptable. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How many want to do the will of the Lord? Okay, let's look at what it is then. Verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk naturally with wine, but don't be drunk on the culture. What is being drunk? Drunk is under the influence of. Right? So don't be under the influence of something that's not God. Be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Say this with me. It's time to get pickled. What's this? You take the cucumber. Now, some of you don't know, okay? I didn't know this when I was a little boy, but I didn't know. I did not know that God didn't make pickles. Right? Now, listen to me, young people. There's nowhere in Genesis that says, and on that day, the Lord said, let there be pickles. You know what he said? He said, let there be cucumbers. Look, sometimes you just need deep teaching in this church. I can tell you lack it. I've come with deep teaching. But that word be baptized is the same word for being pickled. Come on, help me some Grammys and out there who are you pickle makers. You take a cucumber and you put it in a jar with vinegar and solution with a bunch of other little cucumbers, and the solution breaks down the shell of the cucumber, and the solution, not only after it breaks through the shell, begins to infiltrate the rest of the cucumber until it's totally changed inside and out. What I'm afraid of is we have too many cucumbers in church. I really intended to be nice today. But we got too many cucumbers in church that you look good on the outside, but you don't have any power on the inside. Because you won't get in the jar with a bunch of cucumbers and get to become a pickle. I'm trying. It's hard to say these things to carnal people, but I'm trying to preach. Come on. Oh, how many of you have ever been pickled? I mean in the Holy Ghost. You see this 25% over here, they've got all their form and fashion, and they got all their braggadocious talk, and they got all their money, but it's not producing anything. What the church needs to know is that we don't have to try to do better than the world. All we got to do is get filled with God, because when we get filled with God, the squishy 50 says, I want that. I want what heals my body. I want what gives peace to my mind. I want what heals my family. I want what gives me a future. I want what exalts a nation. Amen. And scientists are spending millions of dollars on how to reverse a pickle into a cucumber. No, that's not true. Check your facts. I can say anything to you and you believe it. It's not true. The point is, you can't take a pickle and turn it into a cucumber. Once you've been awake and you've been touched by the power of God, you'll never want to live the same ever again. Once you've experienced the joy, you never want to live without it. Once you experience the peace, you never want to live without it. Once you know the freedom, you never want to live without it. Just give me more, Lord. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Come on. Is anybody here hungry for more? Something that will help us, heal us, save us, free us, make us strong. Lord God, let this church go from just being looking like a church to becoming the church. You know, you leak. You get filled and then you leak. And that's why Paul said, be filled and continue to get filled. Like if you get filled with the Holy Spirit once a month, man, you're done. You're not going to make it. Not in this world. Like Paul said, the days are evil. So I got this phone, my iPhone, and it's got this little sign on top right corner that's my battery strength. And it will show as the battery goes down. Because it leaks. It uses up its power. And I said, Lord, I wish that you'd put one of those things on the foreheads of every person that comes to church. So that people could just look at you and say, boy, that guy's battery level's yellow. Let's give him a little more encouragement. Let's pray for him a little bit better. Let's inspire him a little bit more. You look at some guy, look, he's down in the red area. Boy, let's get two or three guys over here and let's pray for this guy. Let's encourage him. Let's get this lady over here and just shake her hand. And let's encourage that child or that teenager because that, you know, they're good people. It's just their battery is going down. And when your battery goes down, let me tell you what you don't do. You don't throw the phone away. Some of you, your battery's down and you just want to quit. No, don't throw the phone away. Some of you, your battery's down and, well, you know, I guess I need to take the whole thing apart and analyze everything there is about it back to its childhood. No, you don't need to do a history report on your phone. No, you don't need to do that. Well, I need to take it back to the manufacturer and have it psychoanalyze it. No, you don't need it psychoanalyzed. What you need to do is plug it in. There are 1 million apps that this phone could access. Not all at once, but the potential is out there. But if the battery's dead, it doesn't matter how many apps are out there. If the battery's dead, it's useless. But all I got, so let's stop complicating things. Let's stop criticizing things. Let's stop overanalyzing things and say, you know what? When I was alive and plugged into the Holy Ghost, everything was fine. But now I'm going dry. What am I going to do? I'm going to plug back in. I don't need a new car. Come on. I don't need a new car. I don't need a new house. I don't need a new couch. I don't need a new spouse. What I need is a fresh touch from the Lord. I gotta plug back in until my spiritual battery gets charged up one more time. Come on. We need some full batteries in this church. Yeah.
Power, there is anointing, and it's very available. It's available, it's prevalent, you even walk in it, wow. But pick it up. You walk in power all over. Pick it up, walk in heal, walk in deliver, walk in set free, for all the power you desire and even more is all.
Wow. Let's lift our hands. I'm looking. Just lift our hands and thank God for unending power. I don't have the cord up here. If I had a cord up here and I said, it's good, watch this. And I said, look, boy, we really need Heather to play this piano today. But, and then it was unplugged. Is that the power? Is that the power? That's it. You're done. No. And I get up here and I say, you know, folks, we'd like to worship, but there's no power. There's no power. Go home. See you in a few weeks. No. What would you say? You say, oh, there's power, Pastor. Come on. How many know that's a lie? Well, there's no power. That's a lie. Well, I'm powerless. Well, yes, you are, but it don't mean there's no power. You're just not plugged into it. And whatever the devil's done to unplug your cord, I tell you today, tell the devil, take a hike. I'm plugging back into the power because it still is mine. I still deserve it. It's still available. Live tired no more. Live angry no more. Live hopeless no more. Live depressed no more. Why? You got to plug into the power today in the name of... And that's what God is saying through this gift of the Spirit that is being used by our brother today to tell you, you don't have to go to wait till church. You can plug into the power everywhere you go. How? In the name of Jesus. One more scripture. This is how you plug into it. Ready? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. It's interesting. He says the first thing that you do after you get filled with the Holy Spirit is you start speaking. Hello? You got to start speaking. So the Holy Spirit is inside of you and He's trapped until you start speaking. Hello? If you're negative and complaining, you lock Him up. But if you're praising and compassionate, you let Him out. Are y'all out there? So you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you go to work Tuesday and He's down inside saying, let me out. Let me out. You go up to somebody, they're hurting, and He's saying, let me out. I'm trapped in here. Let me out. Let me out. I want to help them. Oh, no, no, no. I don't want to seem too spiritual. No, no. Let me out. I'm here to help them. When you come to church, He's saying, let me out. Praise the name of Jesus. When it comes to altar time, let Him out. Begin to worship, begin to pray for people. When it comes to your kids going through hell, let Him out by saying, you're a child of God. You belong to the parents of God. Everything's coming. Come on. How many want to let the Holy Ghost out so that He can move in a powerful and a mighty way? We got to open our mouths. Be filled with His power. Come on, let's stand together. Let's stand together. Everybody that wants to plug into that power fresh, stand around this altar. Join me real quick. Come on. Everybody that says, I want to plug into that power. I want to endowment of power. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to be the difference maker in my home. I want to be the difference maker in my community. I want to be the difference maker in my ministry. I want to be the difference maker at my job. Come on, quick, quick, quick. Everybody that says, I want to plug into that power. Quick, join, get in this altar real quick. Get in this altar real quick. Go ahead, Heather, go ahead. Hallelujah. Come on, quick. Come on, quick. We're not getting a part of no dead religion. And I will not pastor a dead church. And if it's 100 people, they'll be alive. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. God can do more with 120 alive than He can with 900 that are asleep. Oh, God, let the church arise. Let it get alive once more time. Come in close. Come in close. Come in close. Step up close. Step up close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
My city
come alive today.
Is blessed.
My nation,
my
Lord,
nation is blessed.
For my God.
Lift up Jesus, would you? You'll never have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit without Jesus being lifted up. Come on, just begin to love Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I magnify you, and I receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I receive dunamis. I receive power. I receive that which is not contained on the outside, but it infiltrates me on the inside. Come on, come on. You don't have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Come on, lift up those hands like antennas and begin to lift up the name of Jesus and let Him pour His Spirit out on you like He wants to and like you and I need today, like never before, an overflow. Come on, more than you can contain, more than you've ever experienced, greater faith, greater joy, greater power in the name of Jesus. Be healed. In the name of Jesus, be free. In the name of Jesus, know the power of God. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, begin to pray. To seek the God that we love today. Powerfully. Right up front, you got to open your mouth. You got to open your mouth and begin to say, Lord, I receive the supernatural, unending power of God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask you this. How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues? Just raise your hand up nice and high. Raise your hand up nice and high. Not everybody has. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's awesome. I'm glad you're here. The Bible says, and we do this so many Sunday nights, but I think people are afraid of something that they have nothing to be afraid of. Are you ready? They're afraid of something you shouldn't be afraid of because people have demonstrated something that wasn't God. And then there are people just afraid of it because they got sin in their lives. So we're not going to squelch what the Holy Spirit does because you've allowed sin to distort your view of what the Bible says is a blessing to the believer. And your sin can be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anybody glad no sin has a greater strength than the blood of Jesus? Come on, let's thank God for the forgiving power of Jesus Christ today. Thank God, Lord, I thank you that there's no more shame, that there is no more guilt, that we are free. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm free from the past. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a candidate. I'm worthy to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now, is there somebody here today? And I ask that nobody be moving around. I'm just going to flow with God because that's what we came for. Is there somebody today you're not connected to God? Like you like Him and you admire Him. You respect and you believe He's there. But you've never had a date and time that you said, you know what, I'm gonna make the decision to repent of my sins and invite Jesus Christ to come into my life. And I want to do that today, Pastor. If you've never done that before, just raise your hand up nice and high and say, I want to do that today. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I've just drifted from God. I need a brand new beginning. I need a new start. I've fallen asleep and I've let God just become a non-issue in my life, and man, I want Him to become the center of my life once again. Just raise your hand up nice and high and say, that's me. Yes, yes, God bless you, dear. God bless you, ma'am. Sir, God bless you. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Up there is a man. I'm going to ask this right here. Hey, Jordan, would you go pray with that man who's got his hand up? Jordan Cummins, would you go pray with him? Sir, this is a good man right here. He's going to pray with you. Where's the young lady? Oh, where's my wife? Darcy, would you pray with that young lady right here? And Tina, would you pray? Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. Come on, let's pray this way. Are you ready, church? Up there in the balcony, down here, praise God. How many? This is just one big altar anyways, right? Pray this way together, all family. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I've lost focus of you, but you never took your eye off me. Please forgive me from all my sins. I receive a brand new beginning. In the name of Jesus, I receive you into my life. Move in every area of my life. From the inside out. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody shout amen. And thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, those of you that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to just begin to let the Holy Spirit flow through you. Those of you that have not, it is an awesome thing, but it is a simple experience. When you got saved, more than likely, you were baptized in water by a pastor, either here or somewhere. After salvation, the Bible says that God will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That means you're just overflowing with the power. It's another experience. Now, you got to open your mouth to do it. Somebody says, well, that's silly. Well, nobody would tell a baby you're silly for opening your mouth. That baby opens his mouth and it's doing his best. That's when you're baptized. You just open your mouth and the Holy Spirit just flows through you. And you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. That's that simple. You got to be really educated to mess that up. All right? I want us to lift our hands and thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you there are baptized, let's begin to pray as the Holy Ghost inspires you. If you have not, expect and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Would you? Now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give us an encounter with you today. Give us a divine encounter with you today. Fill your people. Just pray right out loud. I'm telling you, it overflows you and flows to other people. You got to be strong about it. Lord, we receive that strength of the Holy Spirit today. We receive the overflow of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We're not asking for a different God. We're asking for more of you, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let your power flow. Let your fire burn. Let the river flow. Let it like a well bubble up within us. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise Him until the joy comes. Pray in the Holy Ghost till the joy flows. Hallelujah. Touch your people today, I pray. A refreshing, a renewing, a strengthening, a helping. Your help has come in the Holy Spirit. Your help is here in the Holy Spirit. Your wisdom is in the Holy Spirit. Your strength comes from Him today. Go ahead, just begin to enjoy His presence. Enjoy His presence. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, touch your people. Come on, let Him fill your cup. Let Him fill your cup. Amen. As He fills your cup, the sorrow leaves. The immense depression leaves. The addiction leaves. And something happens to you that makes you a better man. It makes you a better woman. It makes you a better husband. It makes you a better wife. It makes you a better Sunday school teacher. It makes you a better choir member. It makes you a better bus driver. It makes you a better doctor. It makes you a better mechanic. It makes you a better lawyer. Come on. Hallelujah. Lord, fill me with something that this world is hungry for and is dying for. Give me something I can lay my hands on the sick and they will recover. Give me something that I can begin to minister to the broken and they're restored in the name of Jesus, in the name of power. Hallelujah. Just begin to thank God for it. Jesus. Thank God for it today. It's coming, church. It's coming on His people in the last days. In the last days, He said He'd pour His Spirit out on all flesh. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. To break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain.
Yeah.
All sufficient sacrifice. To freely give such a prize.
Receive. It's the Father's good pleasure. God wants you to receive more than you want it. Hallelujah. Yeah.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
Discouraged no
to
more.
Break every chain.
Beat down
break
no more.
Every chain.
Let the glory of God rise in this place. Come on, say it. Break every chain. Let the Holy Spirit flow here today in a mighty way. Hallelujah.
To break thank you, Lord.
Supernatural
to
help. Hallelujah. Oh, the burden is lifted. The burden is lifted. Oh, the burden lifts now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I hear the chains falling.
This time. Let God do it. There's nothing that stops your move, Lord, when we're hungry. God, you said that you fill those that are hungry and thirsty for you. Touch our prayer. Touch this precious daughter. Oh, good girl, Lord, very valuable. God, you got a plan for their lives. And God, we just know it starts with the power of God. Do it, Lord, we pray. Do it, Lord, I pray. Lord, touch our prayer.
There is power.
It'd be like a well coming up, Lord. Well, more of you, more of you. Touch, Lord. Fill, I pray. The power of your Spirit, God, satisfies. The power of your Spirit, Lord, takes care of everything. Takes care of the 360 degrees around us. Every area is what you want to touch. Every area is what you want
to
move. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God we got a living Savior. Come on, He's a living Savior. He's a living God.
There's an army rising up.
There's an army rising up.
Touch, Lord, every person, every life, every individual, every home. Come on. Have all you want. Come on, have all you want.
I hear the chains.
Have all you want. Today.
I hear the chains falling. You hear them coming down. I hear the chains falling. To break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain.
Listen, I want to tell you. Sometimes God has to move you out of your comfort zone and put you in a foreign place before you can come back and see what you're familiar with completely. They're telling me in Europe and South America, whatever the popular trend is in the American church is becomes the trend in Europe and South America. The trends in Europe are bad in trying to be like the American church. And in South America, many of them are forsaking it and just saying it doesn't work. I say that not to bring bad news. I just say that we don't realize the influence that we have in the American church. The American church has no idea how much influence it has on the world. And I would follow that up by saying, we have no idea how much this influence, this church has as an influence in its community. Just because everybody out there is not inside here does not mean that everybody out there is not affected by what happens inside here. Because everybody outside there is going to work with you. Everybody outside there is living near you. Everybody outside there has got kids that play with your kids. Everybody outside there is got connections to you. And I'm going to tell you, when the life of God flows through the local church, it can't help but touch everybody that's out there. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not, the power of God is not just for here, but it doesn't get out there until it gets in here. How many just make a decision? I'm going to end this year more awake to the power of the Holy Ghost than I've ever been before. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord right now with me and just say, Lord, I give my life and surrender to you. The rest of this year, I'm going to be more hungry and awake and alive than I've ever been before. I'm going to finish 2017 strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, amen and amen, 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 amen. Come on, thank God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I hope that didn't come off mean, because I didn't no intention to come off mean. I'm just, sometimes you got to rattle the sabers. Come on, sometimes you got to just shake the people a little bit. Say, hey, come on, let's not get comfortable. How many are ready to get just alive in everything that God has for us? Amen. The journey gets sweeter every day. God bless you. I love you. Would you love one another? And I'll see you tonight, I hope. God will.